This is good. Okay. So I've asked a couple brothers to read select verses for me, 10 verses at a time. We're going to be studying 1 Samuel 17 today. So if you'd like to turn to 1 Samuel 17, chapter 17, that is. First Samuel chapter 17, and I've asked Daniel to start on the first 10 verses. Luke's going to take the second 10 verses, and Uncle Drew's going to take 10 verses, and then my dad's going to take 10 verses, and I'm going to read the remainder. All right? So that's how it's going to go down. Some crowd participation. So Daniel, you can start. Thanks.
The Philistines gathered their armies together to battle, and were gathered at Sophah, which belongs to Judah. They encamped along between Sokol and Abedeth in Gibeah of David. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in the battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, with the valley between. The champion went out from the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in strength. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a sword of mail, and the weight of the sword was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his feet, and bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff and the spear was like a leader's feet, and his iron spear head was 600 shekels, and the shield bearer was the sword. And he stood and cried out to the archangel of Israel, and said unto them, What have you come out to Goliath to battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servant of Saul? Choose a man for yourself, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with you and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we must fight together. And Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistine. They were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of that prophet of Bethlehem of Judah. His name was Jesse, and he was his son. And the man was against him and his soul. The three oldest sons of Jesse, and one of the oldest sons. Names of his three sons,
for Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel has he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter and make him make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should 5, the armies of the living God. And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done for the man who killeth him. And Elias, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Elias angered his people against David, and he said, why camest thou down thither? And with whom hast thou left those two sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another, and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the form of him. And when the word was heard which David spake in the first one before Saul, he sent for him. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistines. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against the Philistines to fight with them, but thou art of you, being a man of war. And David said to Saul, thy servant hath his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear took a ram out of the flock. And I will not ask him, and smoke him, delivered it out of his son of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smoke him and slew him. My servant slew both the lion and the bear. And when I took the Philistines, shall be as one death, seeing he has defied the enemies of the king of God. David said, moreover, the Lord has delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will bring me out of the hand of the Philistines. Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Saul armed David with his armor, and put his helmet of brass upon his head, also the armor of the Philistines. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he said, go, go, for he had not proved it. David said unto Saul, I cannot go with thee, for I have not proved it. David put them off.
Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and put them in his shepherd bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David. And the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, and he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath, and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that the champion was dead, they fled. We'll conclude our reading there. Let's just open a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the scripture, and that we are able to dig deep into it to find applicable things to our lives. We just pray that you just help the Holy Spirit to move inside of us, and and rightly divide the word as we dig into it. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I grew up reading this story, and in Sunday school we made songs about this story, and I don't think I've ever really dug deep into it. Having come back to the passage, a little bit more understanding and a little bit more years to my face and my body, I came back to it and started dividing it and seeing really what it meant to me. Because there's a reason why we see this in the Word of God. And so I just want to start out by just giving us some geography where we are here, what's going on. We start out with two groups of people. We start out with the Philistines and the Israelites. We start out with two different people who are mentioned from the Israel army and the Philistine army. One is Saul, the king of the Israelites, and one is Goliath of Gath, the champion of the Philistines. And we meet on a battlefield where there's a mountain on this side and a mountain on this side. We have a valley in between, and we have one army on the mountain over here. We will have one army on the mountain over here. Now, as we go on, we find out that Goliath comes down through the ranks of the Philistine army, and he comes down to the valley, and he makes this challenge to the Israelites. I don't know if any of you have been up on a mountain or in a valley or maybe on the Grand Canyon where you yell out and you hear an echo, or you hear your loud voice and it amplifies. Now, as an eagle screeches, you hear that distances and distances away. And I can only remember as a child and going camping and cottaging, if we're out on the lake and my mom would usually say to us, scolding us because we were yelling some horrific thing at each other or something, that keep your voices down and be careful what you say, because there are people who can hear you and you may not see those people because they may be on the other side of the lake. And so this was exactly how it was with the Israelites. They could hear Goliath. They could hear him loud and clear. His message protruded long into the thousands of the Israelites who were camped on that mountain. And the Israelites, after hearing that, it says in verse 11, when Saul and all the Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now, I think what I want to do here is I want to compare two people, and we'll get into the second person. But I want to take Israel as a people group, and it's very important that when they're faced with something big, like this Goliath here, they have the first thing they do is they hear him, okay? And the reaction is they were dismayed and fearful, and they cower, okay? And Goliath comes, and it says in verse 16, that he displays himself 40 days and he displays himself morning and night. That's almost 80 times he's out there. I can almost see myself as an Israelite there with this champion. Someone's got to go face him. And I can almost see myself saying, well, maybe Matthew should go. Like, he's good with the spear, right? He's good with the spear. He can go get him, right? And Matthew's like, no, what about Jonathan? Remember Jonathan? Jonathan was a real good guy. He went up and he slew lots of Philistines in the name of the Lord. Or maybe Saul. See, Saul was the one that was picked because he was taller than everyone else. He was taller than everyone else, and he was handsome. And by man's eyes, he looked great. And I wonder if 40 days came by and they're like, oh man, no one's stepping up to the plate. Like, what does God have for us now? Who is able to take this man on? And then we read of David. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, who had 8 sons, and the man was old, advanced in the years in the days of Saul. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to the battle. And the names of these 3 sons who went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, next to him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. And David was the youngest of the 3 oldest who followed Saul. I just started thinking, okay, here we got David, and we got to notice where David is coming from. He's a shepherd. He's a man who takes care of sheep and lambs, a lowly profession, out in the fields most nights, taking care of the lambs, and he's a youngest son of the 8, Eliab being the oldest son. And we have this David who's a musician. And it says in verse 16, and the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. And Jesse sent his son David to the war ground. And then we're going to jump down to 21 for the sake of time here. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was a champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. See, the Israelites first heard the words of Goliath. What did they do? They ran in fear. They were dismayed. David hears the words of Goliath. And it says, all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So here's the second thing. Israel hears, they see with their eyes the man. And from a man's standpoint, no man could ever measure up to this other man. This man was big. He was 9.5 feet tall, around that, given the measurements that we have. And the average Israelite was about 5 feet tall from the records that we have from their bodies and the records we have from the day. And so, David, we're going to see what David actually hears and what David sees of Goliath. And we're going to go down to26. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall we be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is the uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And I got thinking, how does he remember this? How does a man, a shepherd, come and have this intel, this idea? And as we read on, and it says, now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard them when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And I wondered, what was Eliab so angry about? Here's David, and he's going to confront the man that no one has ever dared to confront in 40 days, a champion who's well versed in the art of war. And I couldn't understand it, and I was kind of wondering, like, if it was my oldest brother, and he had been away 40 days at war, and he had been a man of war, and I came up there and I said, well, your problem is very simple. You know, we got to trust God in this matter. We got to face a man's issue that's bigger than us with something bigger, and that's God. And I got thinking and I said, well, it's interesting because he fights this man-made word battle, it seems. He's in a battle with words with his brothers and the Israelites. See, the Israelites are thinking, David, don't go up and do it because we only got one shot at this. You die, we're enslaved. All right? And he engages the people. And I thought a lot of people meet more troublesome words from their friends around them before they even go up against their enemies. And I think that's true. Sometimes when some person is going through something that seems to be big, seems to be too big to handle, and they're expecting their brothers and their sisters to come up behind them and give them encouragement and push them along in the ways of the Lord, sometimes it seems like they kind of get, you know, cold shouldered, and they say, well, I guess maybe I'm not supposed to be going up and doing this. And then I kind of read on, and it says, why did you come down here, and with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? And it kind of sounds like his brother's saying, you're more suitable to look after a lamb than be on the battlefield. And see, here's this man who is so small in the sight of all the Israelites there. And God is going to use this person for the glory of God. And so who hears this? But the people hear it and they bring him to Saul. Now Saul is a king, and David would be very stressed out about going to Saul, because this would be a man he would respect as being the king of Israel and a man well versed in the art of war. And so as he comes, he labels himself as Saul's servant. He says in 32, he says, then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. And here's the second person who kind of points that out. They're seeing man's battle and not God's battle. They're seeing, they're leveling David up against this other Philistine, and they're saying, you just can't do it. I'm sorry. Right? And he says, but David said to Saul, your servant. He identifies as Saul's servant, taking the lower place. He says, used to keep his father's sheep. So these aren't even his sheep. These are his father's sheep he's looking after. He says, when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defiled the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. Now, I think the third thing that I think we can give David was he heard the Philistine, he saw the Philistine, but what he did next was he didn't cower in fear. See, he remembered where he came from. He remembered what God had done for him in the past, what God was going to do for him. Why? Based on based on things that he had done in the past, which was a much better argument than the carnal ideas that Eliab and Saul had. And so I think it's imperative that we remember that, because Israel didn't remember where they had come from. They didn't remember all the things that God had led them through, that he had taken them from Egypt, that he had taken them over the Red Sea and saved them, that he had taken them into the Promised Land. Even probably fresh in their minds was the time where the Philistines took the Ark of the Covenant away from the Israelites, and they were moving it around the Philistine cities and being struck by plagues by the living God. These were things that the Israelites knew about, that they should have taken confinement in and said, well, this God who has done this for us will surely save us from this big man who defies Israel. See, God wants nothing more than to help you overcome temptations and fears and trials that stand up against you. He's with you all the way. He wants nothing more than to come up with you on the battlefield of life and help you with the things that you've been struggling with for so many years, or maybe 40 days or a day. He wants to know what you're struggling with, and he wants to come up with you. This is the God who is living. And it says, we're going to jump down farther here to verse 42. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him that he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So Philistine said to David, am I a dog? You come to me with sticks. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Now we see really what David thinks of the Philistine. And he says, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of the hosts, of the God of the armies of Israel, from whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air, into the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that this is a God, that there is a God in Israel. Then all the assembly will know that the Lord does not save with the sword or the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So it was when the Philistine arose, came draw near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. So we see this. David knows that this is the Lord's battle. He knows that the Lord is going to be the only reason why the Philistine is going to go down. He knows he's not a man of war. He knows that he is just a servant of the living God. And today, I kind of want to get my point across that God puts things in our lives that seem big. And I think why they seem too big for us to handle, and we kind of find ourselves saying, why has he put this in front of me? This is too big. I can't handle this, God. And I think the reason is because we're trying to measure ourselves up to the problem. And it doesn't work. Just like David was too small for the problem, Eliab and Saul knew that he wasn't going to be able to defeat this Goliath if he had just himself. It was the Lord inside of him that was going to win this battle. It was the Lord who was going to win this battle for Israel. And I think when we come up to problems like that, we need to remember what God has delivered us from in our lives. Each one of us has been through things that we didn't think we were going to get through, but because God was there and we remembered that God was there, we could get through them. I think of myself, do you remember back when you got saved? Do you remember that you came out of bondage like the like the Israelites came out of bondage of Egypt? Do you remember that you were saved from your sin? Like Israel was saved when they were saved from the Egyptians when they were brought over from the Red Sea. Do you remember that you have new life from God, just as Israel was brought into the promised land and given the promised land? Do you remember the things that God has done in your life, like present day, that He is doing in your life? He can overcome the things that are in your life, and God hasn't put them there thinking that you can't defeat them. He's put them there, and He knows you can defeat them. He's waiting for you to call on Him, because those who call on Him will have victory. And I just want to quote Isaiah 41:13. It says, "For I, the Lord God, will hold your right hand, saying, fear not, I will help you." And I just thought that was a cool verse, because that's the verse that came to my mind when I caught my finger. I was in the hospital, and I was kind of thinking that no one was there. And sorry. So when I was in the hospital, I didn't really have anyone to call because I didn't have my cell phone. So I was kind of feeling like there was no one there. And I kind of felt like, God, why is this happening to me? Like I'd gone into the mechanic business thinking that I would come out with all my fingers. And I guess I was wrong. But it wasn't like I had gone to war and expected maybe I would be killed, right? So I kind of showed up at the hospital, and I kind of felt lonely, and I was praying to God, and I was saying, God, send someone to me. And I remember just God saying, you know, like, I delivered you from the time that you got hit by a rock in the face, and I delivered you from so many things, and I'm not far away. Like, I'm right there. And I felt Him kind of guiding me to that passage and kind of saying, like, just bringing verses to my mind that I hadn't thought of before, that just kind of just reassured me that God was going to take me, even a small problem like this isn't a big deal. It's just, for me, that was a big hurdle, because I'm deathly afraid of blood, and I black out and I pass out. But God was taking me, and what didn't look big from everyone else, that my boss kind of shrugged off as kind of, Dave, you'll get over it, just do what you need to do kind of deal. But God knew it was big to me. God knew that I was struggling, and God reached out to me. So I just hope that encouraged you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You that You are not far, and that You are a living God, and that our strength comes from You. And You know our trials and our problems, and You know what is big to us. And it doesn't seem big to You, but God, we know that You want to help us with those problems and those trials and the sin that is in our life, and You want us to overcome it. And just as it said that Saul the king was going to reward whoever slew the giant, we know that God will reward those who look to You for victory in trials and temptations, and that You will overcome them. And we just pray that You, we would remember what You have done in our lives, and act on faith and proceed with You in the front lines. And we just pray that You just Lord, just help us with these things. In Jesus' name, amen.